Blog Talk Radio.
From the outrage of fake black and the NAACP leadership to the misery of fake American leaders, and broadcasting from a quaint, ill-decorated, semi-furnished, but wholly southern New Mexican single-wide trailer, Good morning, Kelly.
Here.
It's been a little bit rough on the station today. There's some national problems the national feed that we get, satellite feed, has been kind of going off. So it's just been a little bit rough, but hope you're doing well. And hope you are doing well out there. I've got a lot of news for you here. And thinking back to the shows last week, what sticks out in my mind is this conversation that Bev Courtney and I had about the natural law. And I have a few thoughts about that in the coming show, but I thought it was kind of an interesting topic. And now you've got the Magna Carta's anniversary, which is certainly extraordinary. Okay, got some headlines for you. NBA, by the way, Cavaliers not looking too strong last night at the end of these games. These games are all coming down to the end. They're coming down to the end, and one team or the other is taking control, but it's pretty good basketball. And LeBron James had another monster game, 40 points, something like 13 rebounds, 11 assists, something like that. But he doesn't have enough help. And it seems like at the end of the game, he's also getting tired. He's not finishing, but you can hardly blame him. He's putting out some of the greatest performances that we've ever seen in an NBA final. So going to have that for you. The weather, believe it or not, the same exact path of Houston to Dallas in Texas could be in for another possible foot of rain. And in the meanwhile, they say that I think the last 30 days has been a record for small amounts of rain in Texas, but it's going to turn around now, I think, from these couple of tropical storms that are underneath or going through Mexico. Weird shark attack on the East Coast. Dallas police headquarters attacked. Fake black leadership. Whoa. Now, when you hear that, do you care? Does any part of you care if a person pretends to be black and lead the NAACP? To me, I found myself laughing at it. So that's just kind of how I saw it. I mean, I'm sick of those guys already. All right. So here is some highlights from your NBA finals.
I've showed you this many times. Go to now, and then that's where it comes to, okay? All right, there's only one spot, but the others will be power filled. 616, okay?
All right, so if you're a Warrior fan, to look at that game and just see how it kind of worked out was just agonizing, because you can see how easily that they could just so easily they could win a game if they just had a little more depth on the bench. And you're talking Kevin Love, you're talking that are missing top two out of the top three scorers and players. I don't think we've ever seen anyone play at the level of LeBron without more assistance from the supporting cast. And it's just weird to see him playing at such a high level alone, and yet at the end of the game you see he can't make it. So, and I'm sure he's just absolutely exhausted. Now, if this were to be played next year with Kevin Love, with Kyrie Irving, I think the Cavaliers could win in four straight, just because just these few pieces would make the difference. But I've never seen anybody shoot the ball better in traffic than Steph Curry. I've never seen it before. So anyway, we'll take a little break here, and it is 6:14. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We'll be right back. All right, so I was telling you about these storms that are coming up, and it's kind of fascinating to watch them. If you will spend a little bit of time on, say, the Weather Channel, watch a few videos and see how these things are developing underneath the Texas, underneath Mexico. It's kind of fascinating. What I find interesting is that, you know, you have these very strange weather phenomenon, like the incredible amount of rain that they got in Texas, that was between Dallas or between Houston and Dallas. And it just almost seems like a fluke. You've got these weather patterns coming in, and without any real apparent kind of just, almost seems random, but pounded storm after storm after storm down the same line of trees, the same line of and I'm just kind of queuing this thing up here for you, but the same line, it's just weird. It's, you know, you can understand people think God is after him when this kind of thing happens. It looks like we've got more weather coming up in the same area. So here's a little bit on that. And so you've got this storm that's kind of working its way up, and it doesn't really matter that it's not a full-fledged hurricane, because the amount of precipitation in the storm is pretty big. And so it's just more misery for these people down there. And if the ground is saturated, and it may not be saturated at this point, but I mean, you know, these are areas that already have a lot of flood damage, and certainly don't need up to another foot of rain coming, but that looks like what they're going to get. And I just have a little bit more on this. The tropical storm Carlos is behind a lot of this. So there's a couple of storms that are kind of percolating down around Mexico or in the Gulf of Mexico that are coming up. And I've got that clip for you here. And you see down in the area of Acapulco, that's coming in. So that could hit us. So you've got a storm on the right in Texas. Then you've got a storm coming up the left side of Mexico. And both of those storms could affect us. And here's just one more about this the potential rain in Texas. And from Weather Channel. So you've got that same strip from Houston up to Dallas that looks like it's going to get soaked. And then meanwhile, up the Texas panhandle, but all up the right side of New Mexico, you've got what looks to be severe thunderstorms. So it looks like we're going to have a repeat of that. And it is possible that New Mexico could get a fair amount of rain, although I'm not sure about this area yet from these storms, but it's kind of interesting to see these two storms coming up at once. All right, so here is, there's a story that you probably already know about, but which came up through the, from the Dallas area, the guy that came up and he attacked the police headquarters in Dallas, and you've probably heard all about that. It was a guy that was upset about losing his child, and he blamed it on the police or the authorities, and he went after the Dallas police headquarters. And this brings up kind of an interesting thing that's going on, that there is apparently I don't know what to call it. I mean, I think most people understand right now in America, there's a lot of skepticism at the police departments. And there is also a lot of, I think, urban fury towards the police that's coming out. And so I just want to point out one thing that was said during this, report on this Texas situation where the guy came in and just started shooting on the police headquarters. I just think that what has happened is from the highest levels have been called into, you know, their activities, their style has been called into skepticism, into a doubt. And so it is kind of feeding into this natural kind of fear of the police and causing people to not just stand up against them in a civil rights way, but actually fight back and attack them. But I just want to play this little clip where this lady, who just happens to be black herself, claims a reporter, an anchor, claims that the guy who attacked the police headquarters was brave. Check this out. And this is from Mediaite. All right, this reporter's name is Frederica, and I mean anybody can make a mistake, but I just see all of this stuff coming together. Now there was this video, and you'd have to see the video to really understand it. But there was a police officer in Texas who went over to break up, basically to go into an area where an urban pool had attracted a bunch of kids, and supposedly most of the kids who were in the pool were black. It was in a kind of a white neighborhood, and it started this argument between these people demanding that these kids go back to their own neighborhood and everything. The police show up. That's what the claim was anyway. The police show up, and there's three cops, and one is a shorter cop, kind of almost like Barney Rubble, and he was running around, and at one point he trips, chasing some kids, and does a barrel roll. And then he comes back, and he picks this young black girl in a bikini out of this crowd and tells her, you know, he's basically telling these kids to leave. This is right outside of the pool area. The kids are not leaving. Some of them are walking off, but others are just standing there. And there's this one guy, and he's just yelling, and he's cursing, and he's really taking things up to the next level. And for some reason, he picked, I don't know if this girl must have said something to him or wasn't paying any attention, but he's telling these kids to leave the sidewalk. Some are walking away, but some are just standing there. I assume the ones that are standing there are assuming that they had nothing to do with anything. But he picks this girl out of this crowd, and he basically says, I told you to leave or whatever. Throws her down on the cement, and then she starts to get up. He takes her again and throws her on the grass and pushes her head down. And then he basically kneels on her back while she's sitting there sobbing, calling for her mother. It would look totally ridiculous. But I mean, you don't know what happened before the video started, but it looked ridiculous. And then some boys started yelling, that's my cousin or whatever they were yelling, and ran up to him, and he jumped up with his gun. Now, then it was said it was overkill, and he was getting, basically threats against him. And so he ended up, resigning. And I think that you can at least say that he overreacted. Now, whether it was racist or not, I don't really know. He was going after these black kids, but I mean, I didn't see a bunch of white kids around for him to go after. So I don't know, but I mean, it's basically now every single thing is being scrutinized in the country. Now, in the meantime, this is the really worrisome thing. That was kind of just a ridiculous situation. And maybe the girl's family has a case against the police. I don't know. Nobody appeared to be really injured. But here's what I found interesting is there was this scenario in Cleveland where there were shots fired. And so the police gave chase against this guy. And so they're chasing this guy down the street. And one off, and a guy had a gun. He was. They say that the police responded on Sunday to a report of six men waving guns, and a man at the scene fled when the police showed up. So as they're chasing this guy, the man pointed a gun at him, and then the police fired four rounds. Then all of a sudden, an unidentified number of people started shooting at the police, and. So it was not clear, but, you know, there was shouting and yelling. So this is what I was thinking. You know, we could develop a situation in America where the police become so discredited that these local populations kind of rise up against them and start, you know, when the police try to do an enforcement, like a situation here where a guy has a gun and there's gun battle. Shots start coming out of buildings or, you know, people are looking down saying more police brutality, that type of thing. And it just seems to me like that what has happened, and it's I think happened from the highest levels of the government, that it has come down and people like Al Sharpton have kind of upped the ante where there's doubt that's placed against the police. Generally, their training, you know, their methods. Whether they're racist or not, doing racist profiling, to the extent that police cannot do their jobs, then you've got a case where the society begins to break down because there's no police order. Now, there has been a lot of fear in Baltimore for police to do their jobs from the police themselves. And they say that murders are way up, and whose fault is that? So, I don't know. I just feel like it's the wrong kind of leadership that's coming out of the, you know, from the federal level, from Washington, to seed in doubts. And now there are people that are blaming the leadership in Baltimore, because this attack against the police has not made the city safer. It's made it worse. It's made it less safe. There's more, you know, there's more violent activities going on, and they're blaming the prosecutor. They're blaming the governor. They're blaming the president. They're blaming all of this type of, you know, all of this type of, I don't know, this just kind of this, not just fear mongering, but this hatred that is expressed towards the police. We are either going to have a professional police force across America, or we're not. You know, and if there's, obviously we are, but where there's either going to be support for the police or they're not. And it's very sad to see this widespread doubt when people's lives are on the line. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that I think it's a very dangerous situation that the people at the highest levels of government are kind of ramping up to gain politically. But the fact is that there's people who are going to suffer, and these are the residents of places like Baltimore. They're the ones who are going to suffer when there's a call for the police to come out, and the police can't, in a dangerous situation, the police cannot react in a normal way because they've been told to stand down or be careful, or, you know, we'll only send you to extremely violent situations. It's just a total disaster. All right, I got a little Jim Gaffigan here. It is 6:32, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And 523-1450 to call in. We're going to come back and shift gears, go into a couple of other subjects, like this fake NAACP leader. All right, so that is Jim Gaffigan, who's really a hotshot comedian. All right, so we've got some on this report, this absolutely stunning report on this fake black person, which I just find this so hilarious, because you make this whole cult of race, and when you have this thing blow up, it's like, I hate to say it, but I mean, doesn't it almost make you feel like, you know, this a lot of this stuff is so superficial. Somebody fakes being black, and then they you know, they take advantage of all the perks of the system, and I don't know, it just kind of made me laugh. I thought it was one of the most ridiculous things that I've ever seen in my life. And of course, she's in a lot of trouble, or at least she's under a lot of scrutiny. But here's a little bit from CNN on this. Just to let you know, these people are just as white as Archie Bunker, as Al Gore, as George Bush. They're totally white. But this daughter kind of looks black, to be honest, but she's got blonde hair in her previous photos, but now her hair is all frizzy, and she's got, I guess her features look black enough. If the family had a responsibility to out her as a non-black, doesn't Bruce Jenner's family have the responsibility to out him as a non-woman, you know? That is absolutely hilarious. It sounds like her parents are very liberal. You know, they've adopted all these black kids, and then she decides that she's going to be black too. She goes to a black college, is accepted, given a full ride, that she doesn't mislead anybody. And then she starts realizing that there's a lot of perks to being black, and starts living it out, develops a black accent and everything. And according to her parents, that she sounds black on the phone. But God, this is, I've got to tell you, this is one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Now, let me ask you this. Difference would it make if she was the head of the NAACP as a white person? Would it even matter? Seriously, what difference would it make? I mean, if her passion is helping black people and standing up against oppression, I guess she shouldn't present herself as if she's a black. But if all she needs to do is put a perm on her hair, which is apparently what she's done, because her hair at one point was blonde and long and straight. Now it's curly. It's kind of like, looks like it's a teased out afro. What difference does it make if she pretends to be black? Or let me at least ask this. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I find the NAACP annoying. And a lot of the stuff is just, you know, hogwash that they put out. But somebody like Al Sharpton. I mean, what do these people expect? You make it so attractive to be black. Why? What's wrong with someone coming along and taking advantage of the system? Anyway, the whole thing is nonsensical. Anyway, this whole race industry in America. Anyway, 6:47 Kelly O'Connell Show. I've got a guest coming on the next hour, So a friend of mine, Jim, we'll be right back. AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. What's up, man?
Good. How you doing? The race industry is intriguing. No, you hear about this girl in Virginia. I think that is one of the funniest things that I've ever heard.
Kelly here. You know, I'd love to dress up as a black person and see what it was like, you know. I don't know if I try to take over the NCAA, but, or pardon me. Yeah, well, hey, why not take over the NCAA too while I'm at it? But just to kind of follow this type of thing, I mean, this race thing in America is so far out of whack that it is just, it's just preposterous. And to have this woman come along, to be black is such a superficial thing anymore in terms of using it for to try to get an advantage or to attack other people or claim that there's all this racism out there and that, you know, you can't have a good life if you're black in America. The police attack you. I had a, okay, I've got a black friend that called me yesterday, and I talked to her for quite a while, and I asked her about this situation. And I said, how do you feel about this? And I said, I asked her, she's a conservative black person. So I asked her, and I didn't call, she just happened to call, but I didn't call her up to ask her about this stuff. But I just, I said, there's an issue here. I said, the rate of crime in the black community is higher than in the white community or the rest of the communities. And do you acknowledge that? And she said yes. And I said, well, what do you think it is? I mean, do you think it's racist police work, or do you think that it is? And she said, you know, it's kind of interesting. She said that the problem is that there's not a lot of education in a lot of these black communities, and therefore, and then I started giving her. The statistics on fatherlessness, and I said, I don't think the problem is race. I think the problem is fatherlessness. Black communities are much more likely to have households that are led by women, solo women. And I started reading her the statistics. She couldn't believe it. The statistics on fatherlessness are just staggering. And as a matter of fact, I didn't plan on doing this, but I'll just. And I've read them before, but it's been a while. If you look up, just put in fatherlessness. And there's a couple here. Fathers.com brings up one. There's another one, Fatherless Generation. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, five times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 85% of children showing behavior disorders come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. I'm reading this stuff to her, and she's saying, where are you getting this from? Like, there's this, like, there. Actually, U.S. Department of Health Census, Center for Disease Control, Justice and Behavior, Volume 14. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. National Principals Association. Let's see here. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes, 10 times the average. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. You think that's a coincidence, right? It's not a coincidence. So we're having this conversation. She couldn't believe it. She's got a degree in social work, I think, although she's not working as a social worker. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. Is that amazing or what? And that's from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services press release. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. If that doesn't break your heart and to hear that, and so she didn't have an answer, but she said it's because the men leave, don't stay with these families because they don't have an education. And I think it is because we've set up a situation where we've rewarded people for having children out of wedlock, and we don't care about the consequences. Because we're so touchy-feely, we don't worry about what is called the unintended consequences of our policy. All right. So here, anyway, I've got a story. 12-year-old, 16-year-old lose limbs in shark bites in Oak Island, North Carolina. Check this out. Really sad story. Well, I did have it queued up with these stupid ads. But anyway, so these kids are swimming around. This is the fourth attack in the last week. 12-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy bitten by sharks in Oak Island. And losing limbs. I thought, you know, sometimes you hear about these shark bites. It doesn't seem that bad. But if you've lost a limb, it's pretty gosh dang bad bite. So check this out. All right, so the weird animal stories out there. There's another story about a bunch of zoo animals escaping in Europe to the point where the zookeepers were getting killed trying to get them back in their pens, including hippos. Well, hippos kill more people than anybody in Africa, any animal in Africa, believe it or not. All right, Kelly O'Connell, and this is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. I've got Jim Harbison, and we're going to talk about an article that he wrote about the Green Chamber in the Sun News. We'll be back after break on the hour. What's up, man? Good morning. It's Kelly O'Connell. It is 7:06. It is real nice outside right now. It's going to be a scorcher, though. It's going to be 96 degrees. We've got the moisture that's coming our way. It is mostly going to hit Texas. It's up the panhandle right now. Heavy rainstorms. It basically looks like a repeat of what we had a couple of weeks ago, where the panhandle kept getting pounded by major thunderstorms. And then epic rainstorms, thunderstorms, and tornadoes came up from Houston to Dallas-Fort Worth and totally inundated the area. So it looks like more of the same. And these are from these tropical storms that are coming up. They're not quite really hurricanes, but we've got one coming up on the left side of Mexico on the west coast that's coming up that's probably going to affect us. And then we've got another storm coming up directly underneath Texas at the same time. So it's kind of a double shot there. I've got Jim Harbison on, but first I want to mention something that I was kind of shocked by. Santa Fe and Espanola are suing to stop county tax hikes. Santa Fe and Espanola suing as well as the state to stop a tax hike from taking effect next month. The Santa Fe New Mexicans reporting this, that the two city governments and several Espanola businesses have joined the lawsuit. All right. Now, if you listen to Ben Rossin, taxation was absolutely ridiculous because it was based upon no firm goal for the taxes. We want more taxes. We're going to take this hold harmless bill that came through. And now we've got some cities stepping up to defend their citizens. And so 2013 state tax package allows local governments to impose a higher gross receipts tax rate within their jurisdictions. The two cities claim the new tax doesn't apply within their boundaries. They say county ordinances should only apply to unincorporated areas belonging to the county. So anyway, we've joined this lawsuit. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, thank you for calling in. I hope you're doing well today. And what's on your mind?
Well, since you're talking about something I think is being missed, it's a pointlesser by the press, which is when they took the tax off food, they applied the same amount of tax onto regulation, your driver's license, registration, all these other things to make up the money.
Really? How do you know this? How do you know this?
So, I know this because I was doing talk radio when it happened, and Bill Richardson was pushing this.
Okay.
And so I've been a newspaper columnist for many, many years, and I wrote.
Where were you doing talk radio, by the way, Michael? Michael, where were you doing talk radio?
I was doing it here, Michael Swickard.
Oh, Michael Swickard, God bless you for calling in. I hope you're doing well.
I am. I have been taking care of an uncle for 12 years, but unfortunately he passed away June 1st. And so now it frees me up to pay a little more attention to other stuff because I'm not his daily caregiver.
Well, we got to get you in on the show here, Mike. You got an open invitation.
Well, always would enjoy that. And I am, since I'm doing 6 to 9, I'm used to getting up in the morning, but let me make
all right, go ahead.
Point. They took the money off of all these other things to compensate already. Now, because the legislature doesn't want to give up that money, that found money to them, then they've got this hold harmless where they bring it back. We're already double taxed. Now, with the county doing it, we are triple taxed.
Ouch.
My goodness, we should not be triple taxing at a time when we have low employment and we're kind of floundering as a business community.
Yeah. Anti-business community.
Very much so. If you've been in business, you know that those – see, the problem with it is, Kelly, is those people, when they say yes, then they're on the dime. If they say no, nobody says anything to them. So all these projects, when they say no, there is no risk to them. When they say yes is the only time there's risk. And so you got all these bureaucrats who know that the only time things get risky is when they say yes to a project.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I was talking to Jim off the air and I was saying, there's a lot of liberals out there. I mean, true progressives who think the entire reason for government to exist is to take taxes. And I've noticed it time after time, they're always in favor of taxes going up, but I've never really understood this taxation without having a direct purpose for the taxes. I don't get that.
Well, here's the thing. One time in front of Congress, they were saying, let's move the tax from, and I'm going to make these numbers up, 35 to 36. How much more money would we get? And so the people that did those numbers said, you'd get this much more. And a Republican senator said, well, how much would we get if we taxed at 100%? And the guy ran the numbers, said, well, you get this much money. And he said, no, sir, you get it 100% because nobody would work if you took all of their money for their effort. And the problem we have is that dynamic relationship between how much you tax and how much we decide to do, the progressives do not admit that is a true economic principle.
And that it could be. And that brings up the famous Laffer curve that was made
That's
famous
what it is, yes.
During the Reagan administration. They found out in, I believe it was Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, one of those two, maybe South Carolina, that when they reduced the tax rate, they got $400 million more in tax revenue. They found psychologically, they've done tests on people, Michael, and found that at 17% is the cutoff for when people stop sharing their, they start trying to hide income at 17%.
The number I actually saw done by some economic professors was 28.
Okay.
But when you go to 29, you get less money than you got at 28 because people change their behavior. And what the progressives don't understand is there is a certain amount of money you can take out of the economic money we're using, and we can survive it. You take $1 more, and we won't survive it. You know the old thing in Arabia, how do you know how much to load a camel? Grumbling, don't put another thing on its back because it'll fall to its knee and die. Well, we've stopped grumbling because we throw up our hands and say, no, I guess we can't do business.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, Michael, I really appreciate the call, and that's an honest and open invitation to come on the show. So we'll have to set that
up. All right, we'll figure out how to connect because I'm not in connection with you. And so, well, sure, I'd be glad to come down and share my opinions. But right now, I have no audience at all. So you're the only time I get to talk to anybody.
Well, I appreciate it, Michael. You've got a lot to offer. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right. So we got to that's a nice call. Michael Swickard built up quite an audience here in the Valley before he left the air, as he's saying he had a little bit of family stuff to deal with. Okay, Kelly O'Connell here, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. It is 523-1450 to call in. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Jim Harbison. He is a dependable local voice of a conservative analysis, and he's done an article on the Green Chamber, and I asked him to come in and talk about it because I found it intriguing. And Rand and the Sun News will be right back at 7:15. And Kelly here. It is 7:19. I got Jim Harbison in the studio. Jim Harbison, let me give you a little background. Vietnam vet, very, very smart guy, good writer. Very, I guess when you talk to Jim, get ready for a well thought out and articulate opinion. Even if you disagree with it, you're going to find some substance there.
Well, thank you, Kelly. There's a lot of people disagree with me. That's pretty clear.
Well, you're doing a service to the community if you bring up opposition points. It used to be anyway that there was pleasure to be found in finding someone who disagreed with you because it would put you through your paces and make you reconsider whether you've taken the right position on some important issue.
Well, you know, there's a couple of writers here. One writer in particular, Michael Hayes, which is, you know, for most conservatives, he's the devil incarnate, you know. But Michael and I get together, and we have some great conversations. You know, we agree to disagree, but it's not a hostile relationship by any means.
Well, what I'm thinking about is political correctness and the fact that we've been driven into this corner. If you're a good person, you agree with us. If you're not, then you need to leave society is what the politically correct ideology presents.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that, and I can guarantee I've never been called politically correct. So.
Well, you know, they used to do – I was reading a book on John Milton, he's now known as a poet, but he was a member of Cromwell's administration after Cromwell took over.